14, we're going to look at the Laodicean church, the church of the last days, the church in the time period in which we're living today. We find it in that place chronologically where these letters correspond to the churches down through the ages and what was descriptive about them. And we come now to where we're living at today in the Laodicean period. And let's begin verse number 14, Revelation 3, 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, write these things, saith, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich, and the white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repeat. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and eat with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are in this present age, and the true church is waiting upon the Lord's return. And certainly excited about that great promise. And I want you to notice here, as the Lord writes concerning the Laodicean church and the age in which we're living, notice his introduction. The introduction, listen, really reveals a descriptive and a corrective way in addressing the church. Look what he says. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith thee. What is the next word there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's it. All right, let's try that again. Saith the.
Amen.
Well, let's try it again. Saith the.
Amen.
All right, ooh, finally. All right, what I'm looking for. Saith the Amen. The Amen. And so I want to share with you a message about the Amen. The Amen of God, the author of the letter, the Lord reveals himself to them as the great Amen, the true and faithful witness. Amen, the title given of Jesus, which is the affirmation and confirmation of God's word to man. As you and I consider it, we know that he had the first word, and he will have the last word. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Amen is the declaration of all immutable truth, that is truth that cannot be changed or altered. Thank God for his holy word. Thank God that I stand upon that which is the incorruptible word of God. I'm glad today, listen, that it will stand for all eternity. God needs no revision. There needs to be no updates and no changes whatsoever. Listen, when God wrote it, it's perfect, and it's still perfect today. And I'm thankful because that's the anchor of my faith, steadfast and sure, that keeps my head above water, knowing that the Word of God is true. And so the Amen is the declaration of immutable truth. The Amen is the declaration of inescapable truth. It's going to come to pass whether you like it, whether you agree with it, whether you deny it. It's going to come to pass exactly as God has said. Listen, aren't you glad today we stand firm upon the promises? No matter what the world does, no matter what the devil does, the promises of God are sure and they will come to pass. I'm glad today that I know I shall be in a heavenly home. I'm glad today, so wipe away all my tears. I'm glad today for a great reunion of the saints of God and those who have gone before. I'm glad, I have no doubt about that, because I stand upon the Word of God and listen, knowing that the truth of God is inescapable. And then the Amen is the declaration of transformational truth. This truth came from God, and it's what we needed to know, to hear, and to believe and receive. And the transformational truth. Jesus said, John 18:37, when he was being examined by Pilate, he said, "To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And so you and I understand that this is transformational truth if it is received. You and I, we have information that comes to us all the time. And especially if you peruse Facebook a little while, you don't know whether that's true or not. Yeah. I mean, some guy comes on there and he's wanting to sell you a little item new that's going to cure your cancer. And he's got all the research and all that kind of stuff. And so, man, I'll tell you what, there's somebody who's supposed to be an expert about everything there is and all these simple cures and everything. Listen, most of the time I read that with doubt and speculation, especially if they're trying to sell me something. There have been snake oil salesmen that go all the way back to the beginning of the country. And you're going to cure everything, cure all of it. And so we take that with a grain of salt and you got what's in it. Now, sooner or later, listen, if we're not careful, we get deceived, taken advantage of, come to find out it's a scam. What sounded good, convincing, professionally done, turned out to be a scam. And sometimes you suffer loss because of it. But I am thankful as I look upon the Word of God to know that I can stand firmly upon the Word of God. And once we receive it, it is transformation. Jesus said, "It's the spirit that quickeneth the flesh profit nothing." The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. He said the words of spirit, they're life. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I said to you, he that heareth my word, live with him that sent me, have everlasting life, shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so, listen, thank God, I grew up hearing the Word of God, hearing the Bible preached, but there was a day, Brother Dave, when I accepted it in my heart. Amen. And you know what happened? It was transformational. Thank God, this great salvation, born again by the power of God. I'm glad to listen that finally one day I opened my ears to really stop and consider what was being said. And if it is received, it's transformational. Why? Because, listen, it is the essential truth. There's a lot of things that are true, and a lot of facts and various things. Sometimes when Sister Rhonda teaches some of the rules and algebra and geography, and a lot of things mathematically that are true, but I've gotten by pretty well so far without knowing. Sometimes I think there's an overemphasis on things that are not really going to be used right. But that's my little pet peeve. But nonetheless, we have all kinds of laws and all kinds of rules. Going through chemistry, there's all kinds of laws that govern chemistry. And I'm glad there is. Much of our life revolves around the laws that are given. And you know what? A lot of them I don't really know. I know about some of them, but not all of them. But I'm going to tell you something. What God has to say is essential for every man to know. Listen, God is speaking to man, and God's desire is that man be saved and delivered from the wrath to come, and to know him, and to fellowship with him, to be with him, and to live with him forever. And how, listen to me, born again, those are the essential truths that God has spoken, and he says that Jesus Christ is the great amen. He's the confirmation of the Word of God and the truth that the Lord shares. And so God spoke to the world and revealed the way, the truth, and the life. And you know that is Jesus himself. And so Jesus is the great amen of God. You see, every time we gather around the Word of God, whether personal reading or whether our own study or whether Sunday school or whether the preaching hour, whether it's on the radio or the TV, every time we hear the Word of God, we're actually listening to transformational truth. In other words, it should change our lives. I'm glad. Aren't you glad today that Jesus changed your life?
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad. Why? Because one day we receive and this, we stand firmly upon that, and how this has been a blessing. It's helped us, it's encouraged us, it's made us a blessing, given us a testimony. How do we get here? By hearing the Word of God. Faith coming by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And so it's transformational truth. And so Jesus now is addressing this church and this church period. And he reveals these things said, the amen, the faithful and true witness. He's the faithful and true witness. He's witnessing to us of the mighty truth of God. Now, I want you to consider that. Then notice with me his assessment of the Laodicean church. We find here that they were no doubt possessors of the truth. But, and yet, did the profession line up with the possession? Notice what he says about them. The Bible said, that I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Notice the condition here was the condition of lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. You and I can relate to what the Lord expressed. There's very few things I drink that I enjoy being warm. Okay? Very, very seldom. It's either hot or it's cold, usually. Most of the time. That's what I prefer. I'm sure you do too. I still miss, I'm going back a few years for a while, but I'm going back. I miss the Range coffee bottle. You know what I miss that? Ron said, you don't miss cleaning all that mess up every time. Is there why I miss the Range coffee?
Oh, it's hot.
Because that coffee was hot. It was hot. And if you add a little cream to the pods, man, you got to put it in the microwave and get hot from you. I miss the hot coffee. Yeah. I like stuff. Oh, we were in Pennsylvania. We were in for a shop. And because when you go to Pennsylvania, they give you 2 ice cubes to put in your tea and they don't sweeten you. Yep. That's it. And so we had to put our own sugar in there. And you know what? You had to, it took 10 minutes here to get a sweet. You had to stir everybody up and the ice was already gone. And that was just the custom. That's what they did. And I didn't like it. Matter of fact, I wouldn't bring ice just to bring on ice. God would give it to me, I'll bring it on and have some cold. We like ice sweet tea. And so you had to manufacture that yourself. Still. And that's what it was. I don't know if it's any better than to make it now. You go to a restaurant, well, this didn't do that. 2 little ice cubes, and that's it. Listen, the Lord said that neither hot nor cold. Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. As I was looking at lukewarmness, I found several things that help identify this condition of lukewarmness. We know it means being indifferent or having apathy. And I like the word dull. Dull. Dull means slow of hearing, seeing, or acting. And this is this, slow to respond to truth. Dull. Dull. You see, you can understand what the Lord is talking about here. He has given the church transformational truth. He's given the church that truth. Listen, that is immutable. It will stand the test of all eternity. It is accurate. It is authoritative. It is without error. It is the inerrant word of God. And listen, it is the one essential truth. It's the inescapable truth. And we've given the church this truth. Having responded to the truth. That is, they heard the revelation, but yet had not properly responded. Hebrews says that, chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, hardly understood, seeing you're dull of hearing, dull of hearing. And as my mom would sometimes look at us, and she would say, you're moving like dead lice. I don't have a dead lice moving, but yep. That was an old saying.
Dead lice falling off of you.
Yeah. And in other words, there should have been more zeal and fervency in response to whatever was being told or given. You and I, there are times in our life where we expect a quick response. One day, I think it was Paula, maybe, and I can't remember. One day, she called me and she said, "We got a water pipe busted at the school, and it's flooding the place." Well, you know what? I didn't just kind of move, you know. I came as fast as I could cut that water off because I knew it'd be a disaster. We had to get out the vacuum, wet dry vacuum, and took a good solid hour vacuum all that water. And so there's certain information we get that calls for a quick and firm response. And if somebody came in the back here and said, "Fire!" I don't think most of us are going to run. What do you say? Most of us respond pretty quickly, you see. Here's what the Lord is saying. I have given you this truth. The greatest thing a man could ever know, the thing that's the most essential thing that are right, things that are good, things that bring blessings in your life. But he says, I find here that you're lukewarm. That is, that you're dull. Dull. Slow to respond to truth. And then I thought about this word in the Bible, the word zeal. Without zeal. Notice what he said in verse number 19. As many as I love are rebuked and chastened, be what? Zealous with it and rebuked. One of my favorite stories was Elijah the prophet. Remember, after he'd been on a tree and all depressed, and the Lord went to the cave, and the Lord built the cave, and I've got power. I'll show you power. Watch the earthquake, watch the wind, watch the fire. I still got power. I'm not done. And so don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. I'm not done. And so he told him to get up and go anoint three people. And so one of those was a young man named Jehu. And Jehu was anointed to be the king of Israel. And Jehu was known for something particular in the Bible. Anybody know what Jehu was known for?
Just run. Right.
Yeah, he drove his chariot like a race car. The Bible said, I think it was furiously, he drove the chariot. And matter of fact, one person saw him coming and said, "That's got to be Jehu." He was mine. And anyway, Jehu was commissioned by the Lord. It's time for judgment to fall upon Ahab and Jezebel. And so God turned him loose, man. He's excited about that. And the Bible said, when he was a part of this, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. Rechab was a wonderful man of God, raised his family right. And so he met one of the sons. Here's what he said. He said, "Is your heart right?" He answered, "It is." He said, "If it be, give me thy hand." And he gave his hand, took him up, and him and the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him riding the chariot. I like that. I said, they made him ride the chariot. I'm not sure he's all anxious about riding the chariot. But anyway, he made him along the journey. He's headed to bring the judgment of the Lord. The word of the Lord's come. Now it's time for old Ahab and Jezebel, for their payday, for all the wickedness and evil they have done, and all the children of God they have slain, and listen, all listen to our idolatry that they have risen up and employed the prophets of Baal. Listen, cast the children to the fire. It's time for judgment day. And so he takes his chariot. He's headed that way. And listen, he sees this young man. Is Jonah there? And he said, "Boy, come with me. Is your heart right?" "It is." "Come on, get in this chariot. Let's go." And he said, "Listen, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." My zeal. And so the Bible tells us here that when we receive truth, transformational truth, eternal truth, essential truth, is a transformative truth, and it should stir a fervency and a zeal in all of our lives. And so, as he writes to the Laodicean church, he finds they are dull, and then he finds out they're deceived. Now look at what they thought. am rich and be appreciative of good and have need of nothing. No doubt here the Laodicean church, this is manifested a great deal of material prosperity, had access to many resources, no doubt had facilities, programs, servants, and crowds, and doing great work for the Lord in their mind, what they thought. But that's not what Jesus saw. When Jesus looked down upon this successful church in all of its splendor, and all of this of its ministry, the Lord said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Wow, what a contrast in how they viewed themselves versus how the Lord viewed them. They had been deceived. Listen, part of that deception comes because they have not been faithful in handling the word of truth. They have not been faithful to the very word of God. And so Jesus addresses them as the amen of God, the faithful and true witness. In other words, they had not been faithful and true witnesses, and they had not handled the word of God rightly. And so, listen, this takes place when the word of God is doubted, when it's discredited, when it's denied, when it's disregarded, when it's deluded. The Laodicean period. This is a period in which liberalism, modernism, and compromise, and worldliness has invaded the church. And listen, what do those things do? Those things, listen, attack the Bible. You and I realize today that the Bible is so counterculture that that men today are tempted to modify it, to reinterpret it, to retranslate it, or just simply ignore it and go away. We're living in those days. That's the picture of the Laodicean age. When no longer is the word of God that this is being preached and taught, but much of it has simply been pushed aside and pushed out and not invited. Verse number 20, where do you find the Lord in relationship to the church? Look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you read that correctly, where was the Lord? He was on the outside of the door, not on the inside of the door. Well, how in the world did the Lord Jesus end up on the outside of the door? Because Jesus Christ is the Word. And listen, when the Word is not received, when the Word is not preached and taught, then in essence Jesus has been pushed out and has been replaced by religion. And so the Bible reminds us here that we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The undermining of the inerrancy and authority of the Bible undermines our faith. How this we stand upon the foundation of our faith, our hope, our assurance, our peace, our joy, our salvation, all rest upon the very Word of God. And so the truth of God, this is the amen, is what gives us fervency, faithfulness, and zeal. And so when you and I testify with the verbal amen, we are confirming a personal testimony that is indeed the truth. It is the truth. And so if I said today, Jesus saves, the church ought to respond with what?
Amen.
Amen. Because he does. Hallelujah. And that is a personal testimony. How do you always say, because he saved me? That's how I know. And so the amen of God has spoken to the church, and now he's been pushed aside. Now he's on the outside of the door wanting to come in. You see, a lot of people claim they love Jesus. It's just the Bible they have a problem with. What a contradiction. I'll remind you again, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And listen, the same in the beginning, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. And so, how did he end up on the outside? Because they pushed him out, and they pushed out the Scriptures. And when they no longer preached it, no longer taught it, how because it's so counterculture with our society that we simply have changed it, retranslated it, reinterpreted it, modified it, ignored it, because we know it wouldn't be received. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The Bible says, listen, in Psalms, I think it is Psalm 165. Now they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Now I repeat that, doesn't mean you won't be offended by people. Of course, everybody gets offended. But he's talking about the word. The word will never be offensive to those who love the law, who love the word of God. If you love the Bible today, we can preach on any topic and listen, and you'll not be offended by that. Because you love the truth. Because you love the Savior. Because you love all the principles that were being taught and love all the promises that have been given to us. And so, listen, we're not offended by it. Now, hey, listen, it may step all over my toes. It may bring me conviction. I'm going to tell you what, it's not going to make me mad.
That's right.
Not going to make me mad, no. Listen, I've seen that in years. Folk, you can see like a locomotive, man, they were leaving and the smoke coming out of the ear like a locomotive train as they headed out. And had a conversation with a young lady many years ago that was coming, and I went to see her. She was just all under conviction. And I was sharing the gospel with her, and she brought up her sister. And her sister was from the Baptist. And I just said, Father, we're God. I said, it's wrong. It's an unacceptable lifestyle. God makes that clear. Well, I'm going to tell you what. She voted up. And she said, well, I don't like that. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. I'm just sharing the truth with you. And well, I could tell. Well, that conversation ended in her. And I said, listen, God tells us that because it's a destructive. And I said, listen, if your sister was taking drugs, is it mean spirited for you just to be concerned about it and say this is not good for you? Well, that's just different. I said, how's it different? They're both destructive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what. She didn't receive it, never came back, and has moved on now. But I never forget, boy, under conviction with tears. I'm going to tell you what. When something came from the Bible, she didn't like it, but that's it. She washed her hands. But aren't you glad today that God put a love in your heart for the Lord Jesus, and God put a love in your heart for the truth and the love of the Word of God? And so, listen, it may convict me. It may call me out of need of change in my life. But I'm not going to get mad over it. I'm not angry about it. Because I know it's the truth. I believe in God. I believe God is the truth. I believe God is holy. I believe God is loving. Love me. And so, therefore, whatever He says, I know it is for my good. I know I need it. And so, I say amen to it. Amen to it. And here he addresses the Laodicean church, and he said, you have transformational truth God has given you, but you pushed it aside until finally the Lord's on the outside. You see, the truth is, there are many people today in many places that are having church today, but the Lord nowhere near it.
Yep.
Listen, why? Because God inhabits there when His word is preached, when His word is exalted. You remember back when Solomon had built this glorious temple for the Lord. And it was an unbelievable structure, one of the wonders of the world. And there we find that there was a dedication day, so there was a great celebration. It had the music out, the instruments, and people had gathered, and sacrifices were made. And listen, they took the Ark of the Covenant and that box overlaid with gold that had led them all those years to the wilderness. And they took the little stays, the support post that they carried it with, because it went through those rings so they didn't have to touch it. And the Bible says they brought it, Brother James, into the most holy place. The most holy place in all the temple. And they sat it down there. And when they sat the Word of God in the most holy place, the Bible said, the glory of God. Oh, it filled that temple. And I believe that it was so intense and so bright. The Bible said they couldn't stand to minister there, but everybody had to leave because of the glory of God. I want to tell you, oh, listen, you're going to understand today, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the confirmation of all the truth that's been revealed. Jesus Christ is the truth and the faithful and true witness. And listen, the Laodicean church had failed to be the witness of God and wanted them to be because they were slow and dull in responding to transformational truth. As I prayed about that, I said, Lord, I don't want to ever get to the place where the Word of God doesn't impact my life. Lord, please save me from just being able to read it and be unmoved, unchallenged, unconvicted, uninspired. But Lord, help me to keep a fervency and a zeal and excitement because of the great truth that God has given us. Oh, listen, when you and I stand before the Lord and gather home to see our Savior face to face, I believe we'll be impacted more than ever of how transformational this truth was and is, that it will bring you to this place. To live and abide with Him forever and ever, and to rejoice in the goodness of God. You see, it's transformational. I'm afraid lukewarmness comes when